Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 18th of June, 2018. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, I'm your host, Real Deal Quinn, taking you for the next however long I choose to speak. As always, there is no call number. No call number. This podcast is being recorded so on a late Monday night. So for my Blog Talk Radio audience, we will have this podcast up by maybe later on tonight, maybe early tomorrow, by early tomorrow morning. Good to be with you on this Monday night, a sweltering Monday. If you're in the DMV, got up to about 95 degrees, but with the humidity, it was like 100 degrees out there. So summer is here, just 3 days away officially, but summer's here. Again, no phone calls tonight. You can still follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram account at Rilo Gerald, my Instagram handle, I should say, at Rilo Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com, Real Deal Podcast. Just concluded in Nationals Park. Nationals fall, dropped their fourth straight, losing to the New York Yankees 4-2. Nationals had a number of opportunities in this game, left a number of guys on base, but could not. Had two on in the ninth inning against Adrolis Chapman, who was not his normal, his normal dominant self. He was throwing hard, but he was a little wild, but was able to get out of a mini jam. As you never thought, the way the Nationals have been swinging the bats lately, you never thought that they were going to win this game. Bryce Harper continues to struggle. We'll talk more about him over the course of the program, as he was an 0-for tonight, and I think his batting average has probably dropped around 216, 217 now, as he just continues to struggle. But we begin at Shinnecock Hills with the U.S. Open, a strange and wild U.S. Open, to say the least, but the same result as 2017. Brooks Koepka, repeats, becomes the first Masters champ, becomes the first champion to repeat at the U.S. Open in over 30 years, going back to 88, 89 with Curry Strange, the only two majors that Strange won. Koepka, basically survived the weekend, as Saturday was just bizarre and crazy. Crazy day in terms of the golf. You had guys shooting 70s, 75s. You had Ricky Fowler shooting an 84. There were a lot of complaining about the pin placements because of the wind. And it was just, it basically turned the tournament upside down. In fact, after the first two rounds, you had Dustin Johnson looked like he was in firm control of the tournament. It was four shots ahead of his nearest competitor. He shoots a 77. He shoots a 77 in the third round, and had a decent round. Was even like shot 70 yesterday, but just could not recover from the third round, which a lot of guys certainly could not recover from. But Koepka was steady throughout the course of the tournament. Played great yesterday, even though it was Tommy Fleetwood that was the story, shooting a 63 and almost catching Koepka. Give Koepka a lot of credit. Saturday was just crazy. Not only with the scoring, but with the Phil Mickelson fiasco, which Phil, if you're Phil Mickelson, you've won five majors, you're 48 years old, you got to do a better job than that. You can't do that. Phil Mickelson is not the first golfer to blow up on a golf course to where you shoot an 80, 85. You had a guy in this tournament in the first round shoot a 92. It happens, especially at the U.S. Open, especially at some of these majors, at the British Opens. And we saw Tiger Woods blow up in this tournament and miss the cut. So it happens. If you're Phil Mickelson, you take your medicine and keep it moving. You can't sit up there and take a two-stroke penalty. You should have been disqualified, to be honest with you. It wouldn't have made a difference as far as he was never in contention to win a tournament. But you can't sit up there. He's too old for that. He's 48 years old. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's had a tremendous career, made a ton of money. You got to take your medicine. Let the ball roll down the hill. Take your quadruple bogey or whatever and keep it moving. Get the round over with and go about your business. You can't sit up there and do that. That's something like a 10-year-old would do. Hit a moving ball. So Saturday was bananas at the tournament. I frankly was tired of hearing about all the complaining about the pin placements and about how hard the course was and about how unplayable the course was. I know the USGA came out and basically apologized and said that they made a mistake. If I was the USGA or if I was US Open, I would not have came out and apologized. The US Open, this is major championship golf. It is supposed to be hard. The US Open has historically been the hardest tournament out of the four majors as far as the golf, minus windy conditions at the British Open, which can get crazy at times. But other than that, the US Open tournament has always been the toughest tournament. But see what happened. I think what's happened is if you look at the scores over the last, 5 or 6 years in terms of the champion score, all those guys have been under par. So I think guys, especially Koepka was 16 under last year. So I think guys, kind of like the NBA a little bit, getting a little soft when it comes to these courses, and I got used to playing well at the U.S. Open, and I forgot what the U.S. Open can do to a world class golfer. And that's make him look like you and me. And that's what happened on Saturday. A lot of these guys look like pros. They look like Joes. Okay, they look like average to mediocre golfers. They look like us out there on the golf course. And that, that doesn't sit well with a lot of these guys' egos. And especially, again, when the U.S. Open has been extremely playable and guys have been putting up big numbers over the last 5 or 6 years. But I'm going to be honest with you. Watching it, I had no problem with the course Saturday. I had no problem with seeing the high scores. It is a part of championship golf at the U.S. Open. U.S. Open is the one tournament that can get away with that. I don't want to see it at the Masters. I don't want to see it at the PGA. I frankly don't want to see it at the British, but we know that, again, if you have windy conditions with that rough, that the British Open scores can get high, can get very high. But the U.S. Open, I don't mind seeing super high scores, guys struggling, guys not being rewarded for hitting great shots. That's fine. That's a part of the course. But Brooks Koepka survived it. I thought made a big putt, made double bogey saving putt at the 11th hole, which to me was the difference and propelled him to winning the tournament. It would have been a double bogey. He made just turned out to be a bogey, and really didn't have any trouble after that. Dustin Johnson again lost his tournament in the third round. Ricky Fowler, I'm sure, was one of those guys that had a right to complain. If anybody had a right to complain about what happened Saturday, is Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler shot a 65 on Sunday, shot an 84 Saturday. If Ricky Fowler shoots a 74, four over, he's tied with Koepka, and they're playing in the playoff. So that was, you had a bunch of guys with these ridiculous high scores on Saturday, and things, order was restored as far as the golf course. You can tell that the greens were softer, the pin placements were friendlier as far as the player friendly. So you can tell that USGA went out of its way to accommodate the players come Sunday, because the scores were like night and day. So you have, again, Brooks Koepka, really winning a second straight second straight U.S. Open, and you get that again. There are more guys with just one major than any other players that have won majors. Most guys who win majors only win one major. You get number two, you start getting to some rare territory, especially being under 30. This guy is under 30. This guy looks like a football player, frankly. I mean, this guy is, he's not missing any chest days as far as getting hit in the weight room, to be honest with you. Talk to his father about how competitive the family is, say all the right things. And it's going to be around a long time. And it just makes you think that, and it pains me to say this because I've been obviously a fan of his game for so long. You know, Tiger Woods is probably not going to win another major. There's just too many talented players across the board, especially a ton of young American talent across the board. Now, I mean, you got this guy Fleetwood, who I think is going to win a major. Koepka is, you know, up there. Dustin Johnson, I think, is going to win another major. Fowler. I mean, there's so many guys. I haven't even talked about guys like Rory McIlroy. He's going to win another major. I think he's going to win another major before it's all said and done. Too many talented players. The game, the game is as deep in terms of the talent pool as it's ever been. And it makes, you know, guys like Tiger and Phil, you know, these old guys just forget about it. I mean, it's just, and I haven't even mentioned the Bubba Watsons of the world. Bubba Watson still has, you wouldn't be surprised if Bubba Watson won another Masters or two. So I think Tiger Woods is, you know, trying to crack into these young guns. It's going to be virtually impossible. There's just too much talent across the board in the sport of golf right now. And it's going to take, again, if it happens anywhere, it'll probably happen at the PGA. I don't see it happening at the Masters. I don't see it happening at the U.S. Open. I don't see it happening at the British. Maybe he can eke out a PGA tournament 1 year. But I doubt it. Again, there are a lot of talented players, to say the least. Look at the leaderboard. I mean, these guys, you know, Patrick Reed, you know, could have won, was contending in this tournament. You know, now you got this Tony Finau, Fleetwood. We talked about him. Just a number of just talented players. And that doesn't even mention the ones who were out of contention. And now doesn't mention the ones who are in their mid-30s. You know, guys like Justin Rose and Zach Johnson, those guys. Those guys are still very good as well. So Tiger's going to have a, you know, difficult to impossible time cracking those top guys and winning another major with the amount of talent that's in the golf world. But it's Brooks Koepka. It's the story one of the many stories of a just wild and just bizarre U.S. Open, to say at least. He's going to be around for a long time. I think he's going to win, a guy that will win at least three or four majors again. You know, even Jordan Spieth, that, you know, guys like that who will struggle. Not a lot of big names struggled in this tournament. We talk about Tiger and Phil, but, you know, Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Roy McIlroy, there were a number of guys who didn't even make the cut. In this tournament, and forget about making it to Saturday. They didn't even make the cut. So that is U.S. Open. It's complete. British Open in a couple of weeks, and there we go. We're halfway through the major portion of the golf season. Today's headlines on this 18th of June 2018, Jay-Z named president of Puma Basketball. He already has signed three projected lottery picks in DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley III, and Zaire Smith. Listen, we know Jay-Z is a rap icon, a marketing genius, but good luck trying to crack Nike, the Jordan brand, and Puma, and Adidas. Adidas is pushing the Jordan, you know, recently Adidas pushed the Jordan brand out of the number two spot behind Nike. So right now it's a three-headed monster up top the sneaker business. And again, Adidas has, listen, Puma, first of all, the question I would ask is, how comfortable are the sneakers? That was, you know, again, I know this is about 20 years ago when Vince Carter signed that deal and ended up only signed a 10-year deal and left after 2 years. But one of the issues that why he left out of that deal was because of the discomfort in the shoes. So, you would think 20 years later and through, you know, technology and all that stuff that they would have, that wouldn't be an issue. But the bottom line is, it's still Puma. And if you are a young, if I'm a lottery pick And I, you know, I'm going to be a guy who has all-star potential, a guy who's going to, who wants to make a lot of money off the court. I'm not signing with Puma. I'm sorry. It's just not, I just don't think, again, I know it's Jay-Z. Jay-Z has a lot of pull in these areas, in this area. Jay-Z has shown that, you know, Jay-Z has shown that he knows what he's doing clearly in areas of marketing and you know, from how he speaks, he generally cares about the clients, his clients as in comparison to other agents. But that's not even near here nor there at this point in regards to trying to crack that three-headed monster of, you know, of Nike, the Jordan brand, and Adidas. So again, if I were a prospect coming out of school who was going to be a lottery pick, I wouldn't sign with Jay-Z. It's not so much anti-Jay-Z; it's more about the competition that you are dealing with in terms of Nike, the Jordan brand, and Adidas. Barry Trotz resigns from the Washington Capitals. I'm sure at age 55, he is not done coaching for good. I must have missed something, because I swore that, you know, was it last? Yeah, I think it was last Thursday that the Washington Capitals, or the Thursday before last, that the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. I must admit, like, I don't know. Because I'm looking at this story, I'm saying to myself, why was there even a negotiation? What was being negotiated? The guy won the Stanley Cup for a franchise that had never won before. Give him 5 years, make him a top five highest paid coach, and let's move on to the next story. And part of this goes to how sports is right now in the four major sports in terms of devaluing coaching. We talked about it a few, you know, months ago with baseball, how baseball has devalued managers, especially when the Yankees basically got rid of Joe Girardi, who had done nothing but basically win in New York, make the playoffs just about every year, and manage and develop young talent, and have to deal with Alex Rodriguez for the better part of his tenure there. So you have, you know, it's only a few names that are beyond, you know, winning, that are beyond that. You know, you got guys who are getting fired and guys who are not getting their contracts renewed who are winning. Now you got a guy who can't even get a full extension, a real extension, not this 2-year extension that was part of his incentive laden if he won the Stanley Cup. I'm talking about a real 4 to 5 year extension and some big money that he certainly deserved after leading the Capitals to their first and only Stanley Cup in franchise history. But there's only a couple of guys that in sports, whether it's Popovich, Steve Kerr, maybe Francona, Belichick, only a couple of guys that are seen to be beyond, you know, these egotistical owners, these, you know, franchises who just completely devalue coaching. Again, Barry Trotz will be out of a job for about 30 seconds. Okay, I'm sure that the Islanders are on him, or the New York Islanders are on the phone with his agent right now, as we speak. But I don't know what the Capitals are doing. Again, I think in hockey, a coach has to have some value. We saw it, you know, being a Pittsburgh fan, I watched Pittsburgh fire the coach a couple of years ago, and the guy comes in and wins, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cups. So a coach does have value in professional hockey. So we'll see again. Trotz with another hockey club, unfortunately not with the Capitals. Again, I don't know what the Capitals are. He's 55 years old. The first thing I thought is, I wonder how old Barry Trotz is. 55. That's still relatively young. So, and I haven't heard any health issues that he's had. So he will coach again somewhere. And I eventually say that he will be coaching next year somewhere. This is the Real Deal Podcast on this 18th of June 2018. Of course, Friday you had a big, you had Kawhi Leonard refusing to go back to the Spurs. This report came out Friday, and reportedly he wants to play in LA, preferably the Lakers. Now you're gonna have a bunch of teams try to come out the woodwork to try to make a deal for Kawhi Leonard, especially in the Eastern Conference, considering that you had a story come out today that the San Antonio Spurs are trying to avoid at all costs trading him to a Western Conference team. Good luck with that, because if you're the San Antonio Spurs, this is a situation in the NBA where the players have all the power. And if Kawhi Leonard goes to Philadelphia or goes to Boston or whoever and says, listen, I'm not playing for you, you're not going to give up. You more than likely will not give up the farm to get him. Now, again, maybe if you're Boston, you have so many assets, you can afford to take a risk and say, and, you know, it's not out of the question. I think Boston is one, to me, outside of Golden State, I think I would put Boston as the second favorite as of now. We don't know what these rosters are going to look like, but as of now, I'll put Boston the second favorite to win the NBA championship, especially being in the Eastern Conference. So if you were to give up, let's say, some of those unprotected Sacramento pick, Jaylen Brown, and a Marcus Smart, I think they would try to at all costs avoid giving up Tatum. You know, Terry Rozier, you could probably toss it, probably put it in there. Again, if you ever give up that and get Kawhi Leonard, and let's say win a championship, you can basically say Kawhi. What brand's you better than winning a championship? So as a Laker fan, I'd be very nervous about Boston. Philadelphia, I'm not too much concerned about, because I don't think they don't have as many assets as Boston. To be honest with you, it's Boston that would concern me the most. If you're a Laker fan, how much would Danny Ainge be willing to give up a ton of stuff that he does have to possibly have Kawhi Leonard on a rental? That's the question. So we're gonna, this thing is gonna play out over the course of the summer. I expect it to go as far as even, not into the season, but close to training camp. San Antonio is going to try to play the game of chicken with Kawhi Leonard. There's no two ways about it. They are not just going to adhere to Kawhi Leonard's wants and needs. They're going to try to play hardball. They're going to try to wait him out. They're going to see if he, thinks about, what, maybe I would want to take that max extension if it would still be on the table. So we'll see how this plays out. But right now, I would probably favor You have to probably favor the Lakers in terms of getting them, because they can offer a package of Kuzma, Ingram, and a first-round pick. That's a lot. It's a lot. Again, how much would Boston be willing to give up? And if you're San Antonio, this is where you cannot touch your nose and spite your face. If the Laker package is considerably better than the Boston package, you turn down the Laker package. Like, if I can get Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, a guy who San Antonio liked and almost drafted last year, and a first round pick, do I really turn that down if Boston doesn't give me, doesn't throw in Tatum? See, to me, if I'm San Antonio, I'm getting the best players. So I'm asking I want Brown and Tatum and a first round pick. So if I'm Boston, you can get a little greedy. Excuse me, if I'm San Antonio, I see what Boston has. I'm not letting Boston get off the hook with just, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and some picks. I want Tatum. If you're not giving me Tatum, then it's not even a conversation. So that conversation, if I'm San Antonio, begins with Jason Tatum. And I don't think Boston, to be honest with you, would be willing to do that. Because I think Boston, I think there are people, not only with the injury concerns, but I think there are some people in Boston who might think to themselves, hey, Tatum might be Kawhi Leonard in 2 to 3 years. Or the difference is not going to be that big to where we're going to give up the farm to get Kawhi Leonard. Also, there's also some reports that both the Lakers and Clippers are worrisome of the Leonard, of his injuries. I still think the Lakers would make a move where they would package Ingram, Ball, or Ingram, Kuzma to get him. So I don't believe that for a second that the Kawhi Leonard injuries are going to stop the Lakers from going hard after, especially if LeBron is going to be a part of that deal. So again, this thing is going to play out. I think it's going to take the better part of the summer to play out. We'll see what happens. I would lean towards him ended up with the Lakers. I think the San Antonio ship has sailed. I don't see that at all being a possibility that Kawhi Leonard resigns back with San Antonio. Of course, on Friday, late on Friday, depending on which platform you were waiting for. If you're waiting for Apple and Tidal, you probably had to wait late past the early evening to hear the release of Nas's new album. Nas's new album. I am not going to even give any attention to the first family of music, or the first couple of music in terms of what they did on Saturday. Does not surprise me. I haven't even listened to the album. I'll get to it sometime this week. To me, if you are a fan of hip hop, if you are a fan of rap at its purest, the only thing you were listening to this weekend was Nas. And I think the album is a masterpiece. I think the album is a classic. I would, hard to rank Nas' album. I mean, Illmatic is number one without question. Stillmatic is probably number two. I would probably put this third, to be honest with you. I would put it's right there with Godson. Godson, I would put third. So it's right there. It's 3A. Just the production, again, goes without saying, in regards to what Kanye did with the production. And Nas was on some grown man. Really, as you grow older, you're supposed to get wiser. You should hear that in a musician as they grow older. That's why, you see the Rolling Stones, you see, a guy like Bruce Springsteen, you see some, you see these guys get older and their music, in some ways gets better. You saw it, before he passed away, and before he just got too old in terms of with Frank Sinatra. So I think Nas is, I really think Nas is the best music, that he can even be better than this album moving forward. Now, read some of the reviews about it. One review basically is criticizing him for not talking about the Khalees situation. I don't care about the Khalees situation. I don't think it's necessary for us to know what transpired with Khalees, in terms of their failed marriage. I really don't think it's a point. I don't think it's something that had to be included in the album. Like, I wasn't thinking about it. Not one time did I listen to the album. I've listened to it, God knows how many times. Not one time did I think about the fact that he didn't mention Khalees by name. So, some people are into that type of stuff. If you are into people's personal lives, if you are into, a bunch of drama, if you're into that, world star stuff like that, then that's your thing. Then, if you're into what transpired on Saturday with the first couple of music, then, that's your thing. You might, I don't watch the Kardashians. But this weekend was a weekend for pure hip hop heads, and Nasir Jones delivered, Kanye delivered, and then some. This is all. It's all there is to it. I don't care. You could be the biggest Kanye or Nas hater. If you know, you want to be. If you're being objective, you're being objective, somewhat objective. You gotta get the album is due. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I was kind of nervous about expecting too much. Like I thought I was going, you know, I thought the hope, my hopes was too high for the album. I thought my expectations was too high for the album, but the album more than delivered every song. Once you hit that, you know, the Bonjour and everything, that just takes it home. And again, the Cops, every cut, I liked every song on there. I didn't get, it's only seven, but to me, again, quality over quantity. I'll take quality over quantity any day. So I'll take seven great tracks over 10 decent tracks, 10 good tracks. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of The Real Deal Podcast. I'll see you next time. Have a great evening.